Following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance. You should experience lots of explosions with no body parts. Parents should be ready to cover their ears.
They don't appear to be
And now, it's time for the Broken Sea Audio Production, OTR Swag Cast.
Welcome back to the Swag Cast. This is Bill Holwig again, and tonight we're going to feature some slices from CBS Radio Mystery Theater, which was sometimes abbreviated as CBS RMT. Which was an ambitious and sustained attempt during the 70s to revive the great drama of old-time radio. The series was created by Hyman Brown, a radio legend due to his work on Inner Sanctum Mysteries and other shows dating back to the 30s. On CBS affiliates, the series began its long run on January 6, 1974 until December 31, 1982. Total of 1,399 original episodes. Total number of broadcasts, including reruns, was 2,969. The format was similar to that of classic old-time radio shows such as The Mysterious Traveler and The Whistler, in that a host, E.G. Marshall, introduces each episode and provides some pithy wisdom throughout, but unlike the host of earlier programs, Marshall is fully mortal, merely someone whose heightened insight plunged the listener into the world of the macabre. The show began with the ominous sound of a creaking crypt door slowly opening to invite listeners in for the evening's adventure, accompanied by Marshall's disturbing utterance, "Come in. Welcome. I am E.G. Marshall." At the end of each show, the door would swing shut, followed by Marshall's classic sign-off, "Until next time, pleasant dreams," segueing into the show's haunting woodwind theme music. Marshall hosted the program every year, but the final one when actress Tammy Grimes took over maintaining the format. Prominent actors from radio and screen performed on the series, from Fred Gwynne, Mercedes McCambridge, Norman Rose, Tony Roberts, Howard DeSilva, Celeste Holm, Morgan Fairchild, Larry Haynes, Paul Hecht, Kim Hunter of Planet of the Apes fame, Zira anyone, Mason Adams, a young John Lithgow, and many others. In 1975, CBS RMT won the prestigious Peabody Award, and in 1990 was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame. Hope you enjoy, and keep an ear out for the Avengers.
And now, I'm going to turn it over to E.G. Marshall.
E.G. Marshall. The race, we are told, is to the swift. Likewise, the battle to the strong. There is no substitute for victory. Winning. That's the only thing. The only place is first place. The only guy is top guy. The only number is numero uno. As a popular philosopher so recently stated, nice guys finish last. True, perhaps. But there are also some last guys who finish nice. Or should we say, nicely. Our mystery drama, The Secret Chamber, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Ian Martin. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and True Value Hardware Stores. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
It is a magic moment. You are at your Buick dealer's, about to drive home in your brand new Buick LeSabre. It's lean and trim, classic line. It looks quite unlike any full-size Buick you can remember. You get in. A heady new car smell surrounds you. Your LeSabre feels the way it looks, tight. You turn the wheel a little. No wasted motion in this car. Big, brushed metallic gauges look back at you. That V6 engine is doing great. You rub your hand on the seat. Six people could be really comfortable in here. You swing into your driveway. Your wife, the kids, the dog, everyone with a parakeet descends in the car and gets in. Off you go to nowhere in particular. Life and your new LeSabre are great. Maybe the dog shouldn't sit on the seats. Those people who flatly refuse to recognize the existence of ghosts. But, as Mark Twain once said, those are the people who never saw one or heard one. There is something about the sight of a ghost, the sound of a ghost on a dark night in a deserted house, that will dissolve the doubts of the most skeptical and make fervent converts of the most cynical. After all, seeing is believing, isn't it? Well, why don't we discuss this matter with a man who's more or less an authority on the subject?
Tattersall's the name. Thomas Tatum Tattersall. Though just plain Tommy suits me fine. Been a real estate agent all my life, though. Nowadays we have a fancy name for it, Realtor. So, you say you're in the market for fine old colonial, huh? Dating back to the revolutionary period. Well, I got just the thing, a real beauty, the Hargraves house. Oh, you know about that one, huh? You hear it's haunted. Now, would I sell you a haunted house? Well, fact of the matter is, it used to be haunted, but no more. Can I guarantee that? Well, now, supposing I just tell you the story. No extra charge, and you can decide for yourself, huh? Is that fair enough? Well, now, you got to go back a ways to the war. Well, I guess you'd call it the First World War. I didn't get to go myself. I was just a shade too young. I was also just a shade too young for a beautiful girl named Felicity Hargraves. Anyhow, she was in love with Lieutenant Bobby Lightfoot, who was fighting in France with the Rainbow Division. Well, one morning, Felicity's mother asked me to drop over to the house.
Thomas, you have to help me.
Oh, how, Miss Hargraves?
Bobby Lightfoot is dead.
Bobby Lightfoot?
Yes, Felicity was notified. Bobby fell at a place called Chateau Thierry.
Oh, gee, I feel so bad for Felicity.
Yes, Felicity. Thomas, I'm frightened. You see, when Felicity found out she was standing right here in this room, she didn't say one word. Not a solitary tear ran down her cheek. She stood silent for at least 5 full minutes, and then she turned around and went upstairs to her room.
And she said nothing at all?
That was 3 days ago. She still won't say one word. She won't touch a bite of food, nor sip a single swallow of water.
Oh, what do you suppose I could do?
Oh, I'm at my wit's end. Oh, if only her father, the judge, was alive. And her Uncle Dumont's off in the Navy. Thomas, could you talk to her?
Oh, Miss Hargraves, what could I say to
her? She was always fond of you, Thomas.
Oh, yes, ma'am, but...
She cannot keep sitting in that room forever. What am I going to do?
Ma'am, I sure wish I knew.
Oh, if you'd been a little older, perhaps she might have fallen in love with you instead of Bobby Lightfoot. That's why you've got to help her.
Well, I wanted to help, ma'am, but I just don't know how.
Just talk to her. Talk to her. That might be enough. Talk to her.
Felicity? It's me, Tommy Tattersall. Felicity?
Yes. I know. Tommy.
Gee, I'm sorry about... Bobby.
Bobby? Who? Who's Bobby?
Bobby Lightfoot.
I don't know anyone named Bobby.
Oh. Well, would you like to go for a walk?
No, Tommy.
Oh, but you've been cooped up in your room so long.
I want to stay here. It's such a lovely room, isn't it?
Well, yes, but...
The house is such a magnificent house. I was born here. Did you know that?
Well, yes, I was, my
dad and his dad before him. I never want to leave this house.
Well, Felicity, why not?
Because there's death outside.
Death?
Death. Lying in wait everywhere. Death. Now I remember. Bobby. My own Bobby Lightfoot. Didn't I plead with him? Don't go, Bobby. Don't leave. Death is waiting there outside. But he didn't listen. My Bobby didn't listen. But I won't leave this house. I won't go out there. Out where death is waiting.
Now, look, Felicity, could I tell you something?
I'm safe here. These rooms, these walls, these floors and ceilings, they all know me. They all love me.
Look through the windows. Look out on the street and see how bright and how clear and how lovely everything
this
is.
This house, it shelters and protects me. I'll never
leave. Just up the street, you see my dad's office, you see?
I don't want to look out on the street.
Look, start tomorrow.
I'm afraid.
I go to work there. Why don't you come by early in the day and just say hello to me? You can trust me, Felicity. I wouldn't let anything bad happen to you. Just say hello to me at the office tomorrow. Take a walk over.
Well, it'll have to be a very short walk. I'm so afraid to be outside. There's so much death.
And that's how it all began. Every morning she'd come by, say hello, and then she'd rush right back home. Poor Felicity. I was the only one she ever talked to. And what did we talk about? Death.
Good morning, Tommy.
Morning, Felicity. How do you feel this morning?
I don't feel well. I did a terrible thing.
Oh, not you, Felicity.
Yes, I did. I stepped on an ant.
Oh.
I saw him.
Him?
I should have waited till he'd gone by, and I did stop. But then so did he, and I thought he was just going to stay there, and it would be safe for me to... And then I just as I stepped forward, so did he, and my foot... it was too late. And
yeah, I'm sorry, Felicity. I'm really, truly sorry.
An ant is a living thing. It's one of God's creatures.
It wasn't your fault.
Part of God's plan.
Felicity, it won't be held against you.
You mean that, Tommy?
Of course, honey.
You're not just saying it to make me feel better.
Would I lie to you?
And I'll be forgiven someday?
You've been forgiven already.
Felicity Hargraves. Once the loveliest, liveliest young lady in the county. As time went on, she got no better. I guess you could say she got even worse. So the years went by. She was so tall, so beautiful, and I was so much in love with her. But nothing could ever come of that. So anyway, one night I got a call from Mrs. Hargraves, and seeing her was a shock. I mean, she'd been such a sturdy, well-built, strong woman, Felicity's mother. And here now, all of a sudden, it was like as if she'd shrunk to almost nothing.
Tommy.
Oh, Mrs. Hargraves.
Yes. Oh, you don't know what to make of me. I can't understand it myself. It happened almost overnight.
But what's wrong?
I'm dying. And Felicity is going to need a friend more than ever.
Well, she's always got a friend in me.
Her Uncle Dumont will take care of her financial affairs.
Dumont?
Yes. The judge had him named executor of the estate when I die.
Oh.
I know he'll pay her bills and see that she always has this house. But... Tommy, he won't have time for her. Felicity will need someone to talk to. Someone who will worry about her. Promise me, Tommy. Promise.
Less than a month later, that fine lady was dead. And Dumont Hargraves took active charge of the family money. Maybe what happens next is a story you might have heard before. Why not? Don't it occur all the time? There was all kinds of talk in town that Dumont was running through all the assets, that he was making unwise investments, that he was gambling, and of course, losing heavy. Well, none of this could be proved. But one day, Dumont came into the office.
Morning, Tommy. I'd like to throw a little bit of business your way.
Oh, yes?
Oh, that yes. You ever see a bird look at a snake?
Well, Dumont, watching you, I now see how a snake looks at the bird.
You don't like me, Tommy.
That's true.
You think I'm robbing Felicity of her inheritance?
Well, you are, aren't you?
Well, it looks that way, I admit. Tommy, it's not my fault.
Yeah? So what's this business you want to throw my way?
First, I wanted you to understand that I didn't ask for the job of executive.
All right, Dumont, get to it.
Well, I have to sell the house.
The house?
The old Hargraves homestead.
But you can't sell the house.
Why not?
Well, because Felicity...
Well, what about Felicity?
Well, where will she live?
Where? Where she belongs. In the sanitarium.
How can you say that?
Well, it's true. How can she live all by herself in that big old house?
She manages very nicely.
Tom, I'm her uncle. I love her. I want to do what's best for her. Felicity simply is not right in the head.
Dumont, don't you say that.
Oh, poor Tom. You had a crush on her all your life. And then when Bobby Lightfoot got killed, you might have had a chance, but she went crazy.
I tell you, don't use that word.
Can you suggest another one that describes the situation more accurately?
Look, Dumont, the house, it means so much to her. It's all she has in the world.
It's all I have in the world, too.
What do you mean?
There's nothing left but the house.
Nothing left? How can that be?
Oh, I don't know, Tommy. Here and there, this and that. It all adds up to nothing.
Dumont, I won't let you sell that house. I'll go to court. I'll have you declared unfit to continue as executive.
Sure. And you'd probably even win. But it's too late. Everything else is gone. The court would have to sell the house in any event to satisfy the debts. I'm sorry, Tommy. Somebody has to tell her.
Tell her what?
That she has to leave the house.
Oh, sure. That's right. Somebody does. Somebody has to break her heart, destroy her spirit, and turn her whole world into ashes and ruins, and you know who that somebody is going to be, Dumont.
You, Tommy, you.
Oh, no, this is all you're doing. You're going to tell her. Justice demands it.
If I tell her, it'll kill her. But if you tell her, well, you can put it in such a way that she'll believe you. She'll actually think it's all for the best.
There are those people who are always pulling chestnuts out of the fire. Somebody else's chestnuts, we might add. Why do they do it? What makes the Tommy Tattersalls of this world tick? Since there's a little bit of Tommy in so many of us, perhaps even in you, why not ponder the problem for a few moments until I return shortly with Act Two. Someone said once that a house is not necessarily a home. That may not be true, but what can hardly be in dispute is the fact that a home has to be a house, of some kind anyhow. It has to have form and structure. It must protect and shelter. It must be fortress and sanctuary. Felicity Hargraves is about to be evicted.
But I can't leave here, Tommy. I can't.
I know it's difficult, Felicity.
Oh, it's much more than difficult, Tom. It's Impossible.
Look, Felicity, just...
I'll die.
No.
Oh, yes. There's death outside. You know that. I'm not safe anywhere else, Tommy.
You'll be safe with me, Felicity. I spoke it over with my mother. You'll stay at our house for a while.
No, I want to stay at my house.
Well, Mother's alone all day, and you'll be such good company for each other. You always liked my mother, didn't you?
Oh, yes, Tommy, very much. I have a wonderful idea. Let her come and stay with me at my house.
But Felicity, she... Please, won't you try to understand?
Understand what?
That it isn't your house anymore.
How can it not be my house?
It's got to be sold.
It's part of me.
According to the law.
Every part of this house is a part of me, Tommy. It knows me. It sheltered me. It kept me warm. It kept me dry. It kept me safe. No, no, Tommy.
No, but I'm only trying
to... No, house. Could I sell part of myself? Could I sell my heart?
But...
Could I, Tommy? Yes, I could, but I'd die.
Felicity, I only want to help you. Now, you know that, and you believe me,
soon
don't
the
you?
War in France will be over, and Bobby will be back. And if I'm not here, he won't know where to look for me.
Well, I'll keep an eye out for Bobby, and if he comes along,
don't say if. When?
Well, when he comes, I'll bring him to you. Come on, Felicity, you come with me.
Now?
It'd be best.
Tommy, please, let me just stay here one more night, please. Let me stay here tonight and say goodbye to the house. And then in the morning, I'll go away with you. Please?
All right, Felicity. I'll come by for you. Early in the morning.
Maybe I shouldn't let her stay, but how could I refuse her? Besides, what could happen? Well, a great deal happened. I came by for her in the morning, and she was gone.
Felicity? Felicity? Where are you? Felicity? Sheriff, it's Tommy Tattersall. Yeah, it's Felicity Hargrave. She's gone. Yes, sir, that's what I mean. She's disappeared. Well, I'm here now. Yeah, I searched the house from top to bottom. There's not a sign of her. I don't know where she went. Where could she go?
Where could she go? Well, there was all kinds of talk. Foul play, or maybe she might have just wandered off into the woods and beyond them down into the swamp. If she'd gone and done that, then she'd be lost forever. Well, that's what I told people. Because I realized what Felicity had been trying to tell me. That if she had to leave that house, she'd kill herself. That's what all the talk about death had amounted to. And I felt it was my fault. Why had I let her stay that final night? Why had I left her alone? Well, as you might imagine, the disappearance of Felicity Hargraves was a sensation. But like all such sensations, it only lasted a while. We had the elections and the circus come to town and one thing and another, and gradually Felicity Hargraves was forgotten by almost everyone. Except me.
Tommy, you gotta help me out.
Yeah, out is where I'd like to help you, Dumont. Right out the door.
Now, don't be angry, Tommy. It goes against your better nature. I'm in trouble.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
No, you're not. You're a very kind-hearted person. I still have to sell that house.
I'm not stopping.
Don't you hear what's being said around town? The house is haunted.
It's impossible for a house to be haunted.
Oh, I don't know about that. The way it started was I advertised in the Philadelphia and New York papers. Now, I admit I was trying to save your broker's commission. I admit that. Well, these folks came down and I took them into the house and they just loved it. I almost had a deal. And then we heard it.
Heard what?
The ghost.
What do you mean, ghost? How could you hear
it? Oh, it was moaning and crying.
Dumont, it's impossible.
There were three of us, this man, his wife, and myself. All three of us, we heard it.
I still say it's impossible.
Instead of standing there and saying impossible, why don't you go and hear it for yourself?
All right, Dumont. Where's your ghost?
I tell you, we heard it.
I tell you what you heard.
You heard the voice of your guilty conscience. You robbed a troubled girl out of everything she owned in this world.
Believe me, Tommy, it wasn't intentional.
Well, it comes to the same thing. Money meant nothing to her, but then you took away the one thing she couldn't live without, this house.
Oh, please, Tommy.
Yeah, go ahead and suffer because you deserve it.
Tommy, my conscience is one thing, but a ghost is something else. There is a ghost. It's the ghost of Felicity Hargraves.
Felicity's dead. She...
Listen. What? Listen, Tommy.
What?
Oh, good Lord.
Do you hear it? Do you hear it? You hear that, Tommy?
It's not your imagination. It's not the terror on my face. Close your eyes. Don't you hear it? There. Tommy, there. Is it my imagination?
It was a ghost. It was just the way a ghostly voice was supposed to sound. So I'd been wrong all my life. There was such a thing as a ghost, and this was the ghost of Felicity Hargraves. She'd come home. I believed.
Do something, Tommy. Do something.
Do what?
Tell her to stop.
How can I tell her?
She always liked you, Tommy. That's a fact. No. Explain to her.
What, you're crazy.
Please, Tommy, I have to sell this house.
All right, all right. Felicity? It's me, Tommy. Felicity... Are you here?
Did you hear that?
Here.
Shut up, Dumont.
Felicity, you shouldn't be here. You only scare folks. Felicity, Oh, will you forget it, Dumont? It's Felicity's house.
But Felicity's
it's her house, dead or alive. And if she wants to live in it, I say more power to her.
Was no longer the Hargraves house. It had now become the haunted house. No one would go near it. Well, one day, Dumont came into the office, and with him was a woman, a tall woman with a sharp and bony face and long jet black hair. And she wore a dress that was also black, but the blackest black you could imagine. Oh, she was the kind of woman you'd meet in a nightmare. It was broad daylight, and we were in my office. But still, all this woman sent a chill up and down my spine.
Tommy, may I present the Countess Di Gennaro?
How do you do, ma'am?
Charmed.
The Countess is an exorcist.
A what?
An exorcist. I am the one who banishes the evil spirit.
Look, what kind of joke is this, Dumont?
Joke?
Tom, this lady is a great artist.
What is she here for?
I am to exorcise the evil spirit from the house of Hargraves.
Ma'am, there's no evil spirit in the house of Hargraves.
There is a spirit. You have heard the spirit.
Now, that's Dumont. You just get taken in by his mumbo-jumbo.
Tommy, I'm desperate.
Mumbo-jumbo? Mumbo
jumbo. Now, what you've done, you've irritated her.
You do not believe in spirits?
Well, I...
She must return to the grave. She will never know peace.
That's right, Tommy. We're doing this for her own good.
Well, what do you want with me?
Somebody has got to go into the house with Countess Di Gennaro.
All right, that's you, Dumont.
No. I would create a spiritual climate of violence, which the Countess couldn't overcome.
Sure, and you're also scared out of your wits to walk into that house.
That's a secondary consideration.
Why does somebody have to go into the house with a Countess?
A witness is required by astral law.
All right, folks, go ahead. Find yourself a witness. I respectfully decline the honor.
Tommy, you've got to do it. Everyone else in town turned me down. Now do it for Felicity.
Felicity?
Yes. Let her spirit find peace. She can't keep wandering around that house forever. Do you want to be guilty of depriving Felicity of her rest and peace throughout all eternity?
Yeah, but this exorcist business...
Business? Business? He dares to call it business. It is a sacred profession.
It's a fake.
Is it? And do you know everything, young man?
Can you swear that Felicity's ghost isn't in the house? Oh, come on, Tom. What have you got to lose?
Oh, he has a great deal to lose. His arrogance, his intolerance, his ignorance.
All right.
All right, I'll go. I'll go.
And here he goes again. Poor Tom. As you have already seen, he does get to run a great many errands for people. But this one coming up looks like an authentic first. Join us for dinner this evening, Tommy? No, thanks. I have work to do. What kind of work? Exorcising a ghost. How's that for a conversation piece? Well, our exercise in exorcism is scheduled for Act Two, which is only a few moments away. Exorcising spirits is a practice that's as old as mankind. However, in practically all recorded cases, the spirits were evil and therefore deserved to be driven out. We have a slightly different problem here. We have a spirit that's kind and gentle, the ghost of a beautiful lady. But evidently that won't help her. Since she's a ghost, out she must go.
All right, Madame Dejanara. When do we go to the house and start your little con game?
Mr. Hargreaves, I simply cannot tolerate the attacks of this boorish, ignorant lout.
Now, Tommy, in the first place, she's a countess. In the second, it's an ancient and honorable profession.
Yes, but since I'm to be a partner in this deal, all I want to know is when it starts.
When the moon has risen and Venus has approached perihelion.
All right, just give me the time.
At the stroke of midnight, you and I shall stand in the geocentric ordained perimeter of the presence, and the ritual shall begin.
Well, I tell you, it was easy enough to laugh at this dame. But the more she got herself involved in what she was doing, the more she started to... Oh, to kind of scare you. Her black eyes began to send out sparks. She could feel fire in her voice. And before you knew it, she kind of began to believe it wasn't an act. But that there was something dark and mysterious and scary about it. She closed her eyes and pressed her hands against her head as if her mind was on fire, trying to burn through her skull.
Out. Out. I command you. Out! Go! Go! Sever the bonds. Cut, crack, break. Go! Spirit, you who in life were Felicity Hargraves, I command you to leave. Within me is the soul of the high priest of the temple. I will now exorcise you. Leave! Go! Or I shall pronounce the ineffable, forbidden tetragrammaton. I shall thunder under the name of...
No, Bob.
Who is that?
The ghost, I guess.
The ghost? The ghost? Oh, no! No!
Countess, what's wrong? She fainted. I somehow managed to get her outside. There was a rickety old rocking chair on the porch, and I sat her down on it. And I waited for her to come to. When she woke up, finally, it was obvious that a profound change had taken place within her.
What hit me?
I beg your pardon?
The slicker out-slicked. The flim-flammer out-flim-flammed. Oh, you were right about me, pal. Back there in the office when you called it a con game. That's all it was, a racket. But go figure. There were ghosts.
What are you saying?
I'm saying, pal, that you just heard the real article. You heard a ghost.
You know there's no such thing as a ghost.
There ain't. What do you think's inside the house here?
Now, look, Countess Dejanara.
All right, can that Countess label, pal. The square handle's Molly Maguire from Union City, New Jersey. This ghost racket now, it's a gimmick. A hook to cast the rubes with. But you know something?
I see now the Rubes were right. Maybe the Rubes were always right. Because there are ghosts. And the laughs on the slickers. Like me.
And so the time went by. And the house became more haunted than ever. And then one day, Dumont came in. Oh, he was considerably older now, and he looked the worse for wear, or I should say, the worse for work, because these days he had to earn a living. And in many respects, he was still the same old Dumont.
Tommy, you've got to help me. I've got a chance. A one in a million, once in a lifetime chance to recoup.
Yeah.
I've been working. Tommy, you know I've been working for years now. Ever since Felicity left us.
Now, whose fault was that, Dumont?
Tom, I didn't come to open old wounds. But now there's a chance. Some folks from New York want to buy the house.
All right, sell it.
How? The house now has a national reputation.
So what can I do about it?
Something. Don't ask me what, but something. Do you in your heart honestly believe in ghosts?
No.
Why not?
Because it's impossible.
Well, how do you account for the fact that people actually hear the ghosts when they're inside that house?
Dumont, you want to know what folks hear in that house? They hear a loose board on the floor or a gap in the mortar of the chimney, a missing tile on the roof. Every house has creaks and moans and strains, and a fellow's imagination takes it from there.
And you've got to find them. You've got to find that loose board, that missing mortar, that busted tile, whatever it is. You've got to find it. Give me a chance to live out the rest of my life comfortably. Now, please, Tommy.
Well, sir, I went to work in that house. I looked her over from top to bottom. Old Colonel Nathaniel Hargraves, he sure knew how to build. Beams of solid oak, walls of thick and heavy plaster. After all these years, everything was still sound and true. I putted up the windows so no air could blow through. I made sure the shutters hung firm and steady. I oiled all the hardware in the doors. And I was through. A tighter, sounder, more ship-shaped house simply didn't exist. And a coat of paint made it so fresh and clean and bright. And I even put in a telephone. Well, that was for psychological reasons. After all, a practical thing like a phone works against the very idea of a ghost, huh? Hello?
Tommy?
Oh, yes, Dumont. What is it?
The prospective buyer. He's in town, waiting in his hotel room.
Yes, Dumont.
Tommy, you did take care of the ghost, didn't you? I mean, the house. It's no longer haunted.
I'll see you in a little while, Dumont.
Oh, bless you, Tommy. And just for that, I'm going to give you your full broker's commission.
I looked around the house. That bright place, that cheerful, sunny place. How could anyone possibly believe it was haunted? It proved there's no such thing as a ghost. And then I heard her. Felicity. It's me. It's Tommy. Tommy Tattersall. Talk to me. Oh, Felicity, don't you remember? Tommy. Felicity.
Not another word. She didn't speak another word. Oh, I ran through the house. I searched every room, every closet. I probed through nook and cranny, cellar to attic. There was nothing, no one. And then I decided to try something else. I stood by the fireplace and very quietly I said, Felicity, it's me. It's Bobby, Felicity. It's your own true love, Bobby Lightfoot. Come back from the war. It's me. Bobby.
Bobby? Bobby?
Felicity, oh, my good Lord.
It's you. It's
Felicity, you're alive. You're not a ghost.
Oh, Bobby, you've come back to me. You've come back.
How did you?
I had to stay here, Bobby. You'd never find me if I'd left.
Oh, yes, but where did you...
Don't you remember the room? The hidden room beside the chimney. We found it when we were children, where they used to hide the runaway slaves. Remember?
But everyone says it's a haunted house.
Haunted? Oh, you know how sounds go in this place. I was crying. I was calling to you, Bobby.
How did you live?
Live? I didn't have to live, Bobby. I'm dead. Just as you are dead. I'm so happy, Bobby.
I mean food.
Oh, how funny how I still need food, even if I'm dead. On a dark night, you know folks around here, no one ever locks a door. All I ever needed was a crust of bread, a swallow of milk. No one ever missed it.
Felicity, let me take you.
You mustn't. You must never take me anywhere. Bobby, someone always wants to take the house away from me. Don't let them promise. You'll never let anyone take this house away from me. Never. Promise.
I promise.
And you'll come and you'll visit me every day. You can't stay here until we're married, but I'll plan for a big wedding. Oh, yes. It will be a big wedding, the biggest this town ever saw.
Yes, Felicity.
And you won't let anyone ever take this house away from me. You won't.
I won't.
Yes, Mr. Hastings. I'm sitting in Mr. Tattersall's office right now. We'll be by to pick you up. Why, here's Mr. Tattersall walking in right now.
Hang up the phone, Dumont.
Shouldn't take us more than 5 minutes.
I said hang
told.
Up the phone.
Yes, sir. You just have your checkbook
Dumont,
ready.
Hang up, will you?
We'll see you right away.
Oh, no. You will not see him right away.
Will you realize what a deal I just worked out for the house?
You'll have to call it off, Dumont.
House and property for $350,000. What do you mean, call it off?
Well, it's all contingent on the house not being haunted, right?
Yes, yes, but that's what you went there to ascertain, to prove, to establish beyond the shadow of a doubt.
Well, it's haunted, Dumont.
It's what?
It's haunted.
Oh, nonsense. There's no such thing.
Bring
as
your
a haunt-
buyer here. I guarantee he'll hear enough to run screaming out of the premises.
No. No, Tommy, I can't work anymore. I just can't.
I'm afraid you're going to have to.
I've got to sell that house.
You can't sell a haunted house, Dumont.
Oh, no.
And the home of Felicity Hargraves is haunted.
Felicity died last year. A very, very old lady. She died in that house she loved. She died in Bobby Lightfoot's arms. And late that night, Bobby buried her in a secret place.
Well, now that we have all that ghost story business out of the way, now let me show you the finest, the most nicely kept, the best constructed, the most attractive colonial period home in the entire USA. The Hargraves House. Oh, I vouch for each and every beam, board, and brick. And I'll even show you the secret chamber.
Well, if our animal-oriented friends will forgive the expression, there are many ways to skin a cat, and just as many ways to sell a house. People who peddle large ticket items like automobiles and houses are known for their enthusiasm and optimism, as indeed they should be. They are also incurably romantic, and in many cases, they tell a story so convincingly, they actually believe it themselves. I'll be back shortly.
It's 2 a.m. A man is at your back door, cutting out one of the small panes of glass. He knows that you're asleep upstairs, but he doesn't know that waiting for him, right down the hall, is a master lock burglar alarm, the new Ultrasound X. It looks like a small stereo speaker, just plugs into any electrical outlet. When it senses movement, it starts screaming. And it can set off remote alarms by sending a signal over the household wiring. It'll even set off remote alarms in a neighbor's house. The man eases the glass out, reaches in, unlocks your door, and you're safe. You can have this electronic burglar protection for less than you might think. To find the nearest Master Lock Alarm dealer, call this toll-free number right now, 800-528-6050, 800-528-6050. Call tonight and sleep tight tomorrow night.
If it's space you lack, we've got the knack. New Whirlpool washers, rack 'em, stack 'em, roll 'em side by side.
Let Whirlpool put rhyme and reason into your washer purchase now. Take your pick. Whatever you want in features, size, capacity, and color, you're sure to find what you want, what you need in the impressive range of 24 or 29-inch wide washers and dryers. From economical space-saving compacts all the way to dirt-busting big family super-size capacities, we have washers and dryers you can stack, rack, or roll side by side. Various models feature multiple wash and spin speeds, normal, gentle, and permanent press cycles, energy-saving water temperature settings, and load-size water level selector. When Whirlpool says, "Have we got a washer for you?" you better believe it's true. Your nearby Whirlpool dealer can answer any questions you might have and fill any washer or dryer need from his large stock of quality Whirlpool laundry products. See him today.
New Whirlpool washers, rack 'em, stack 'em, roll 'em side by side.
Here's something to cheer about. It's the great value you get at Cheers Steakhouse. Right now, Cheers is featuring a plank-sliced steak dinner that's almost unbelievable for $7.50. And you get French onion soup, unlimited quantities of Cheers' famous salad with delicious house dressing, the highest quality plank-sliced steak served with Dutch's potatoes, garden-fresh vegetables, grilled tomato, and crispy onion rings. For dessert, make your own ice cream sundae or experience Cheers' homemade cheesecake. Linger over an after-dinner cordial in a delicious Swiss chocolate cup. Complimentary champagne, too. You get all this at Cheers for only $7.50 per person. Served for two or more. Other entrees reasonably priced. Cheers Steakhouse has a 20-year reputation for superb food and gracious service. Parking is free after 5 p.m. And now, Cheers is open Saturdays from 5 to 11 p.m. Cheers Steakhouse, 120 West 41st Street. For reservations, call 244-8810.
You have just heard a ghost story. But what is a ghost story? Indeed, what is a ghost? Mr. Ibsen says we are all ghosts. We are what we have inherited from our departed ancestors. We are all sorts of dead ideas and beliefs. Who knows what lies dormant in each of us? Who knows what we keep locked up in the dark of the soul? Our cast included Ian Martin, Marion Seldes, Joan Shea, and Leon Janney. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by CertainTeed Fiberglass Attic Insulation. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
WOR Mystery Theater on Wednesday, we have a tale of suspense called The Train Stop, starring Norman Rose in the role of a man who travels to a strange town and a young girl who is secretly in love with him. Tune in following the news at 7. Thursday, we have a tale featuring a warrior, his unfaithful wife, her lover, and a revengeful son. It's called Strike Force and stars Michael Wager, following the news at 7. The WOR Mystery Theater was also brought to you in part by ShopRite Supermarkets, where you get a lot more for a little less. The preceding program is furnished by CBS Radio. This is WOR New York, the talk of New York. Stay tuned now for the news at 8 with John Scott. On the WOR community calendar, our special holiday thank you today goes to the Columbiettes of Long Island and Manhattan, who have been very busy wrapping gifts for the WOR Children's Christmas Fund. Do your holiday shopping early at the Morningside House Harvest Bazaar tomorrow from 10 a.m. till...
Now, from the makers of Coldwater Omo,
Well, Mr. Watney, you've seen over the whole of the building. I think you'll agree that the security precautions are more than successful. In fact, the whole of this center is so well guarded that it's foolproof.
I must say I can see no fault at all, Major Sparshot. Who designed the security system?
You're John Teed, actually.
I see. Well, no wonder Mrs. Peel was so sure of herself.
I told you so.
But we know information is leaking out of here. And it's my job to find out how. If only I had something to go on.
Who knows? Perhaps Mrs. Peel may come up with something.
Mrs. Peel, at that moment, was driving her car along the cliff road towards Apple Tree Cottage in Farnham Lane. She wouldn't have been surprised if she'd known Sparshot and Watney were talking about her, but she would have been very surprised if she could have heard another conversation on a telephone.
Yes, sir. Mark in here. The girl, Mrs. Emma Peel. She's left the Carmaddock research place and is heading for Guthrie's cottage. Think we should take action? Look in on what she's doing? Right. I'll leave everything to you. Should be very interesting.
The Avengers. John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers.
Episode 2 of this story, in which John Steed has his doubts about Mrs. Peel's assignment, and Mrs. Peel herself finds evidence to suggest that the security leak is all done by mirrors. John Steed had been placed under close arrest. It was Mother's idea, and Steed knew there was far more to it than he'd been told. The close arrest meant, in fact, that Steed was on holiday, pending the clearing up of the security problems at the Carmaddock Research Establishment. Steed knew better than to question Mother too closely. He waited his time, sitting in the sunshine under a large, colourful umbrella, playing chess.
Used to be able to play this blindfold. Better take the bandages off, Mother, or you'll be checkmate in 2 moves.
You think I can't read your mind, Steed?
There. Oh, very good. It's stalemate, Mother. Want another?
Not just at the moment.
Speaking of stalemate, how long is this going on?
You mean the chess, the fine weather, or just life in general?
I mean this enforced retirement from the game of catching mastermind
until the problems at Carmaddock are cleared up.
Think it can be done without me?
It's got to be.
One hesitates to be disloyal to a colleague, but really, using Watney is a little like advancing a pawn, isn't it?
Pawns can be very useful. And after all, we have the queen in the game.
Well, that's what worries me. Mrs. Peel is more than capable on her own. Mother, I know we all have to start somewhere, but really, Watney...
Wait for the report, Steed. I'll see that you're informed.
If she gets into serious trouble, Mother, I warn you. You'll find I'll break out of this pleasant prison.
If she gets into serious trouble, you won't have to. Now I'll set up the pieces again. I'm in a winning mood.
All right. Possible. Inside, outside, or something in between.
What sort of opening gambit is that?
I'm thinking of the Carmaddock Research Center. I worked out that security system myself. I'll swear it's foolproof. It must be inside.
And I personally screened everyone from Major Sparshot down. It's got to be outside.
Or something in between? A method of getting inside from the outside without anyone knowing it? It's a tough one.
Yeah, so is beating me at chess. Your move, Steed.
Mrs. Peel, the object of everyone's thoughts, managed to find Apple Tree Cottage without any trouble at all. She parked her car under some trees and walked swiftly up the path. The front door was ajar. Mrs. Peel knocked. There was no no answer. So she entered. To her amazement, she found herself not in an old-fashioned room filled with chintz and easy chairs with antimacassars, but what looked like the study of an amateur astronomer. There were books on the subject in every room, astral charts, and, pointing from the far window, quite a large telescope. It was all very learned, all very pleasant. The only strange thing was that all the mirrors in the room had been broken. Splinters of glass scattered the floor. The door slammed behind her. Mrs. Peel wheeled round to find herself confronted by a sweet old lady.
He isn't home yet. I've made the key twice, and he still isn't home yet. It's really very puzzling. Not himself at all. Oh, I'm Miss Daisy.
Who isn't home, Miss Daisy?
Mr. Guthrie.
But Mr. Guthrie is not home yet.
Yes, that's what I was saying. And he's always so very punctual. Very punctual. I should know. After all, I've looked after him for 10 years now.
Oh, then you knew him.
Know him very well, like my own son. Such a nice gentleman. Oh, I do wish he'd come home for tea.
He must be a very interesting man. An astronomer?
Yes. That's the stars, you know. Up there. The stars. Would you like to have some tea?
Will I?
Then by the time it's brewed, he should be home.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very kind of you. I'd like a cup.
Emma Peel hadn't the faintest idea that her conversation was being listened to by the man named Markin.
I'm sorry, sir. I can only pick them up very faintly. You are sure you're spot on, sir? You'd better try another angle. Still not very good. Hold it, that's better.
Really, so unlike him.
Can you tell me a little more about him?
Who? Oh, Mr. Guthrie. Yes, yes, of course.
Okay, I've got them now loud and clear. Hear every word.
In the cottage, Miss Daisy poured tea and wandered on.
Yes, yes, he won't be long. This is his room, you know.
I thought it might be. They say it's 7 years bad luck.
Eh? What's that?
Breaking the mirror.
Oh, that wasn't me. That was Mr. Guthrie. I helped him, of course. Take a hammer, Daisy, he said. Take a hammer and smash everything shiny. Oh, it was wicked of me. But you know, I quite enjoyed it.
He did it deliberately. But didn't he say why?
Why what, my dear?
Why he wanted to smash things.
Oh, not things. Only the shiny things. I think it had something to do with Mr. Williams.
Who's Mr. Williams?
Oh, he's such a nice man, Mr. Williams. And he and Mr. Guthrie get along so well together.
Where does he live?
Oh, in the sweetest little house.
I mean, exactly where does he live?
Down the road. One takes the first turning on the left by the sycamores, down as far as the laburnum, and straight on until you come to the rhododendrons. And the very next house is the one owned by Mr. Williams. Oh, excuse me, my dear. Do you mind if I draw the curtains? The sunlight is really quite dazzling.
Miss Daisy crossed to the window and drew the curtains. Markin's receiving set went dead. He got on the telephone immediately.
I'm sorry, sir. It went as dead as a doornail. Yes, just as the old lady was talking about Frederick Williams. Yes, it's time to move. Well, we have a head start. Yes, I agree. Yes, sir, Gotho is here with me. He will take care of everything. Thank you, sir. Goodbye. Gotho.
A moronic, monumental Mongolian moved forward.
Pasha.
You heard that. Frederick Williams, you know what to do?
Take the head, then.
Gotho stopped and picked up a large piece of firewood. Enough said. Some little time after that, Frederick Williams was trying to work out a fairly difficult equation on the back of an envelope. He was so engrossed in his work that he failed to hear the door of his workshop creak open. Gozo, surprisingly light on his feet for a man of his size, slid into the room. His large hands were outstretched. Williams, sensing that something was wrong, swung round and leapt to his feet. Too late.
No.
And at the Carmatic Research Center?
So you see what near the solar rays are picked up, refracted into the ultraviolet and infrared, fed into the regurgitator here, fed through the Advent Trimax condensers, exaggerated in the accelerator correct system, fed out in pure plus X deradiated energy put into activated the systems here. That's in layman's terms, of course.
Quite. Most scientific. Thank you.
More simply, the sun makes the wheels go round.
I see. Major Sparkle.
Yes, Mr. Watney.
The fellow with the binoculars over there at the window.
Dr. Seligman. Brilliant.
He appears to be behaving in a very suspicious manner.
Allow me to introduce you. You can tell him so yourself.
No, really. I didn't mean...
Dr. Seligman, Mr. Watney thinks you're behaving suspiciously.
I understood that Mr. Watney was from the ministry on an educational tour.
Well, go ahead, Mr. Watney. Tell him.
I'm here to investigate the leakage of secrets.
To investigate the leakages? Or investigate us, Mr. Watney?
Both, if necessary. Now, gentlemen, I must insist that you all pay attention to me.
The scientists in the room all looked at young Watney for a hard moment and all went back to work. Mother's going to get that report any minute, and it'll be a rocket for young Watney. Can't blame Mrs. Peel for this one. Mrs. Peel had reached the cottage that lay beyond the laburnums and the sycamores and the rhododendrons, and again had found the door open. She walked in. Frederick Williams was lying beside his upturned workbench, clearly strangled. Mrs. Peel knelt beside him.
Nasty. Strangled. And what's this in his hand?
Mrs. Peel extracted the crumpled envelope that Williams had been scribbling on when he was so viciously attacked. She was standing, trying to make sense of the figures scribbled upon it, lost in thought, when the door swung open a little wider. As Gosso entered silently, a smile slobbering on his fleshy lips, his enormous hands outstretched.
The Avengers. Listen every evening, Monday to Friday, to John Feed and Emma Peel, The Avengers. Brought to you by the makers of Coldwater Omo.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall, celebrant of these somewhat ominous ceremonies. We are told, when there is no law, there is no transgression. But the fact is, there is never the complete absence of law. Even where you have nothing, you still have law. A vacuum is absolutely nothing, isn't it? And yet, isn't it subject to a host of scientific laws, rules, standards? The point to all this? There are so many regulations, known and unknown, that govern our lives, that everybody has to be doing something wrong. Sometime. Somehow. Somewhere. The question is, of what are you guilty?
I can't help you if you don't tell me the truth.
I am telling the truth, Doctor.
Now tell me what is really bothering you.
I don't know what's bothering me.
Why do you feel frightened?
I don't know. I'm afraid of something.
What?
I don't know, Doctor. You have to help me.
I can't. Because you lied to me. You say you are a stockbroker?
That's the truth.
Then why do you carry a gun? You have a small automatic in a special leg holster below your knee. Mr. Carpenter, Are you now ready to tell the facts that you lied about, glossed over, or left out the first time?
Our mystery drama, The Aliens, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Paul Hecht. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Contac, the 12-hour allergy capsule. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
At the Opal Isuzu Information Center of America, pandemonium reigns as thousands of people try to find out what one is.
Hello, Opal Isuzu Information Center.
Say, I think I've got an Opal Isuzu.
Good for you, sir. Can you describe it?
Well, it's about 4 feet high, brown, tan hair on its neck. It's got cute little eyes.
Sir, I believe that's a Shetland pony.
Oh, yeah. I can see that now.
See the little hoofs?
Opal Isuzu, a great new little car at your Buick Opal dealers.
Man, arrogant, reckless, strides this earth as if he owns it, despoiling, destroying, abusing, and wasting nature's bounty for his convenience and pleasure. But does man actually own this earth? Man, with his intelligence, had made himself the swiftest and strongest of all the living things on this planet. But it is written, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. It is 7:30 in the morning. John Carpenter, Jr. is having breakfast.
What was that?
Will you look what I did? I dropped the big platter.
Well, you should be more careful.
Well, it would have to be the one Aunt Maud gave.
Why can't you pay attention to what you're doing?
All right. What is this? For the past week, you've been snarling at me like some neurotic wolverine.
Well, I'm...
You're what?
Nothing. I'm all right.
This particular plate, you never liked it. For that matter, you're not unusually fond of Aunt Maud either. So what's all the fussing about?
Is there any more coffee?
Not for you.
You mean no more coffee for me?
I'll tell you why. Just listen to yourself.
What's wrong with me?
You're very nervous.
Me? Nervous?
You're irritable, agitated, restless.
That's nonsense.
Something's simmering inside you. Anything seems to trigger an explosion. All I did was drop a dish and you'd think a bomb had gone off.
I'm going to miss my train.
3 no-trons.
Well, what is that supposed to mean, Louise?
That's the shutout bid. And that's your way of saying the discussion is over.
Look, Louise, it's 7:30.
And you have half an hour to get to the station, and it only takes 7 minutes.
I like to get there early.
Yes. That's what you like. What you don't like is to discuss a matter of the utmost importance. Your health, John. You're not well.
There is nothing wrong with me. Ask Dr. Marks. I saw him less than 2 weeks ago.
Then why are you losing weight? And why don't you sleep nice?
Oh, now I am going to be late.
John, can't you tell me what's wrong?
I don't know.
Then you admit
nothing is wrong, Louise. Nothing.
Can you be home early tonight? We're having the Swansons for dinner and bridge.
Oh, for crying out loud.
It's Jim and Marge, and you love them both.
All right.
John, see a doctor.
I have already seen Dr. Marks. Now, how many times do...
Why don't you see someone about your nerves?
You mean a psychiatrist?
Yes. You have a problem.
Well, in the first place, I do not have a problem. In the second place, there's nothing wrong with me. And in the third place, I will not see a psychiatrist. I want to thank you, Dr. Byrne, for seeing me without an appointment.
You said it was an emergency,
Mr. Smith. John Smith.
Your age?
37.
Married?
Yeah.
Children?
None. Well, we had a little boy, but he died in an accident. Look, I don't know what's the matter with me, Doctor. I'm edgy, fidgety. I blow up at trifles.
There may be some systemic disorder.
No, I had a complete checkup. Less than 2 weeks ago, the doctor found nothing.
You told him about these symptoms?
Yeah. He told me I was in excellent shape. Physically, but maybe I was working too hard.
Are you?
Well, no more than usual.
What do you do for a living, Mr. Smith?
Oh, I'm a stockbroker.
Why did you pause when you answered? Are you telling me the truth?
What do you mean?
That doesn't answer my question.
Of course I'm telling you the truth.
You dislike your profession?
Certainly not. What kind of a question is that?
It's the kind of question you're paying me to ask.
Jan, sorry. Well, that was stupid of me. But you see now how I react to people.
Are you under any unusual pressures?
No.
What are you concealing from me, Mr. Smith?
What makes you think I'm concealing anything?
Try to describe the way you feel.
I've already told you. Nervous.
And you can't account for it. No problems at your office?
No, none.
At home?
No.
If I were to ask your wife, what would she tell me?
She'd say I've suddenly become excitable, apprehensive.
Two words there I would like to discuss. First, suddenly. This is something new?
Yeah. Yeah, I've always been calm. I've had excellent self-control. I need that in my business.
Oh, really? I know some highly excitable stockbrokers. Well, the second interesting word you used, apprehensive. Why are you apprehensive?
Did I say apprehensive? Well, it's all part of being nervous and excitable, isn't it?
No, not quite. Apprehensive suggests a feeling of foreboding, fear. Are you afraid of anything, Mr. Smith?
Well, to tell you the truth, I am afraid of something.
What?
I don't know. You see, you keep asking these questions, and I have to keep answering, I don't know, because the truth is, I don't know.
It's quite possible to be nervous without knowing why, but afraid? No. You must be afraid of someone.
No, no one.
Something.
Well, you see, that's what has me licked, Doctor. It's something unknown, something I can't name or describe. Can you help me?
I don't think so.
Why not?
Because I know you are not telling me the whole truth.
Doctor, I don't know what's bothering
you. The whole truth about yourself.
What's to tell? I'm a broker. I'm with Valentine and Sterling.
For example, why do you carry a gun?
A gun?
You have a small automatic in a special holster below your knee.
Well, I...
Because you are nervous and upset, you are being careless. That is why I was able to catch a glimpse of it, Mr. Smith. I would assume that a man who carries a gun in a leg holster is quite familiar with and adept in the use of firearms. But, shall we begin again? Are you ready to tell me the truth this time?
The truth?
Tell me some facts about yourself that you left out, glossed over, or lied about the first time. Now, what is your name? What do you do for a living? And what do you think your problem is?
Doctor, I am not free to tell you.
Then, how can you expect me to treat you intelligently?
I may have told you too much already. I'm sorry. I'd better go.
I'm afraid your battery's dead.
Yeah, I guess so. It was just perfect this morning.
May I be of assistance?
Oh, could you help me jump start it?
Sorry, I don't have those wires.
Oh, that's okay. I got it.
I see you're a man who prepares for emergencies.
Well, you never can tell what... Now, what could have happened to my...
Something wrong?
What could have happened to the cables? I always keep them in the trunk. I know they were here.
Well, may I give you a lift?
Oh, no. It's all right. Thanks. I can take a cab.
Cab stand seems to be empty.
Oh, thanks. I'll call my wife, have her come down here to the station and pick me... Oh, no. Can't do that. Her car's in for service.
Well, my offer is still good.
Are you sure it's not an inconvenience?
Not at all. Get into my car.
Oh, you just saved my life. This is one night I can't afford to be late. My wife's best friends are coming to dinner.
I understand.
Oh, I live at 19 Cleveland Drive. I hope that isn't out of your way.
Oh, no.
I don't think I've seen you before. You live around here?
Just visiting.
Ah. My name is Carpenter. John Carpenter, Jr., to give it the full handle.
How do you do? I'm Ivan Ivanovich Plutnik.
Oh, you're not an American.
I also have another name. Sasna.
Sasna?
I'm sure you've heard of it in English. It means pine tree.
Pine tree?
Yes, pine tree. It's my code name. And it happens to be your code name, too.
What do you know about pine tree?
Here we are on opposite sides. Yet each of us finds himself on a similar project. Pine tree. Why are you reaching for your gun? If I wanted to kill you, you'd be dead by now.
All right. All right, what do you want?
I don't know.
You're a foreign agent?
So are you. Both of us are secret agents.
But what's your purpose in revealing yourself?
As far as revealing myself is concerned, your people know who I am. Just as my people know who you are. You have your cover as a stockbroker, I have my cover as a journalist. No one is taken in. Both sides allow it to continue. Why? Because we're not important, you and I. We're only small fish. But small fish are also necessary. They're part of the food chain.
No, never mind all that. Why have you personally approached me?
No matter how many times you will ask me that question, I will have to give you the same answer. I don't know yet.
You want a defect?
Defect? Whatever for.
Then, is it your purpose to get me to defect?
I keep telling you I don't know my purpose. That's why I arranged for us to meet.
You must have drained my battery.
Yes.
Why?
I wanted us to talk. There's no one on my side I can talk to.
Well, I wouldn't know about that.
There's no one on your side you can talk to either.
That's not true.
Why did you go to a psychiatrist?
How do you know I went to a psychiatrist?
Why?
You know so much, you tell me.
You went because you're upset, nervous, and agitated.
Well, that's no great feat of deduction. Obviously, I am on edge.
And so am I. I hide it better. But for the past 2 weeks, I can't sleep. I'm just like you. I thought perhaps we could compare notes, help each other, help each other.
Why? We're enemies.
I'm not your enemy right now.
Come on, what do you think it's all about? It's your people against my people.
I said right now, it's you and me.
We are still enemies.
Yes, but we have the same problem. We don't even know what the problem is. I need your help.
You need my help?
Yes, and you need mine. I think Sasna is just a little bit ahead of Pine Tree. I just happen to be a little more frightened.
Look, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's the project that frightens both of us. Now, why? You can trust me.
How do I know that?
I'm trusting you. It's something terrifying is that the whole world is about to be destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel the same thing.
Something that has nothing to do with my country or your country or any country. So I said to myself, why waste time fighting each other when we're faced with something that can destroy us both?
Something that threatens to destroy us all. Now I know it. That's what I feel. That's what's being communicated to me. But what is it? Why?
What is it? And why? You know by now, we have an orderly procedure. In the first act, we ask the question. It's only in the second act that you can hope for some of the answers. And yet, you already have a clue, an extremely powerful clue, that will enable you to answer the most important question of all. And what is that clue? It has been stated forcefully and plainly. You think back on it. Until I return shortly with Act Two.
What can cause hemorrhoids?
Strenuous activity, pregnancy, constipation, change in diet.
Oh, well, are pain and itching symptoms?
Sometimes. If you suffer occasional pain and itching of hemorrhoidal tissues, use Preparation H to relieve discomfort for hours in many cases. And Preparation H actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation.
You know, I'll try it.
Use only as directed. Preparation H comes in ointment or suppositories. Relieves pain and itch. Helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissue. Life, for all of us, is subject to certain rules and regulations. Whatever we do is performed according to the guidelines set by society. And yet, now and then, a man decides to break the mold. A Caesar crosses the Rubicon. A Nelson holds a telescope to a blind eye and says, "I do not see the signal." A Gauguin leaves a life of the utmost Parisian respectability to become a beachcomber painter in the South Seas. And tonight, John Carpenter Jr. and Ivan Ivanovich Plotnik have also crossed the line.
When did the fear start for you?
The day I was assigned to the project.
The same with me.
Psychic communication. I didn't even know why I was put on it.
I didn't either. My whole experience is in journalism.
I always wanted to be a journalist, a reporter, a writer.
What happened?
Well, I went to college on a football scholarship. Now, you know what that is?
I think so.
Yeah, I was so busy playing football, I had very little time to read. But I made All-America. You know what that is?
I'm not sure.
No, well, it doesn't matter. Anyhow, this brokerage firm offered me a job, and after a while I discovered the whole firm was a cover for a secret agency. Well, I stayed with it.
You like it?
Yeah, sure. It's interesting. What has your outfit discovered?
Well, everybody knows there's psychic communication among animals. Now we've discovered it exists among plant life.
Yeah, that's where we are.
We're getting indications that even so-called non-living matter has a psychic system of communication.
Well, maybe there's no such thing as non-living matter. Maybe all matter has some form of life.
That's what's being told to me.
How is it being told to you?
How? Well, not in words.
In thought?
Not exactly. More by feelings.
Feelings, yeah, that's right, that's right. Instead of understanding something, I just feel it.
It's as if it hasn't been told to your brain, but absorbed by your nerves.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly how it is. And I have received this feeling that the world is about to be taken over by a force.
An alien force.
Aliens.
Yes, aliens.
Who are they?
I don't know.
But you do feel they're going to destroy us all.
Yes. That's why I'm frightened. And you feel the same way. Did you try to tell anyone on Pine Tree?
I started to. I could see from the looks I was getting, no one had the vaguest idea of what I was talking about.
When I started to talk about it, I also got looks. So I dropped it.
Pine Tree and Cessna. Why are you and I the only ones who feel this fear?
Maybe we're the only ones who are psychically susceptible.
Yeah, I'm really the most down-to-earth, practical guy I know.
So am I.
I often wonder, how do you fellows handle your wives, huh?
Mine thinks I'm a journalist. Yours?
She thinks I'm a stockbroker.
The aliens, if that's what they are, could they be from another world?
Yeah, I don't know, I don't know. That's all I keep saying these days. I don't know, I don't know. Ivan, what are we going to do?
Well, you and I, we've taken the first step.
John, wake up.
Cut it out.
John.
What? Louise. Oh, what's wrong?
You're having a nightmare.
Nightmare? No, that's impossible.
I'm telling you.
It can't be. I was sleeping very, very quietly.
No. You were howling and shouting.
If I were having a nightmare, I would know about it, wouldn't I?
I'm telling you.
I was howling and shouting. What was I saying?
I don't know. It was a kind of funny shouting.
Funny?
As if there was a pattern to it.
What does that mean?
As if you were talking in some kind of new language.
Oh, Louise. I'm...
Oh, John. What's wrong?
I can't tell you.
That means that there is something wrong.
Darling, please don't ask me questions.
John, I have the right to know.
Yes, you do have the right, but please, just now, don't insist on it. The best way, the only way you can help me is to let me alone. Are you busy, Mr. Brady?
No, come in, John. Sit down.
I haven't slept in the last 2 nights.
Anything wrong?
Yes. I've wrestled with this, but I don't know any other way to handle it. I've been exchanging information with an agent from the other side.
John...
You're going to ask me how, when, why, and... Well, it's not that simple. Okay, well, to begin with, they also have a top-secret psychic communication project.
Well, that's to be expected.
It's called Sasna.
Sasna?
Yeah, yeah, their word for pine tree. Can you imagine that? Or is it a coincidence?
Continue.
There's something about this project that we're on that terrifies me.
Why?
I have a feeling that... It's a feeling of approaching disaster. I know that sounds melodramatic, but I feel it. The agent from the other side, he approached me because he feels it too.
The agent's name?
Ivan Ivanovich Plotnik.
And?
Well, that's it.
Well, what'd you tell him?
He told me as much as I told him, and, well, we're both at about the same stage on the project.
He approached you because he feels this fear is terror. You believe him?
Yes, I do, because I know he can't talk to any of his own people any more than I can talk to any of my own people.
Now, wait a minute. You can talk to me, John.
Well, not really, Mr. Brady. You don't seem to understand what I'm saying.
I do. I understand you're afraid.
But you don't feel it. You don't feel frightened by some terrible alien thing that will soon destroy the world.
Alien? Alien in the sense of foreigner?
An alien force.
Out of this planet?
I think so.
John.
Yeah, I know. You're going to tell me I'm working too hard, that I need a rest.
This agent is cover?
Journalist.
Whom else have you spoken about your fears?
Well, my wife.
What have you said to her?
Nothing. She keeps telling me I have to do something, see a doctor.
And have you?
Oh, yes.
What's his name?
I didn't tell him anything.
Even so?
His name is Byrne.
About the agent. Keep seeing him and report the results of each visit.
Yes, sir.
String along with him, but be careful. As you know by now, this is a dangerous business, and everyone engaged in it is dangerous.
I trust him.
Why?
Again, you'll think I'm crazy. Because I don't get any feelings of fear or mistrust when he's around.
Well, that's hardly
a... Sir, we are engaged on a project that is investigating the nature and possible uses of psychic communication. And so some of us may be more prone to psychic disturbances.
Would you like me to take you off the project?
You can't.
Why can't I?
Because only people like me belong on that project. Susceptible people like me.
All right, John. But be careful. Very careful.
Ivan!
Over here.
I came as soon as I received your message.
My message? Do you realize what you're saying?
Yes. Yes, you sent a message. Not through a wire, not through an airwave, not on a paper.
My brain to yours.
How did you send it?
How did you receive it?
I don't know. It just happened.
This thing, this force, it's entering into us.
What we have just done, you and I, this is a revolution. But how do we explain it?
I don't know.
I think there's a kind of central communication system, and that anyone who knows how can hook into it.
I feel that. I also feel pain.
Yeah.
Something hurts. Do you feel it?
What? Wait. Yeah, yes, I do.
I feel as if I'm on fire.
Ivan.
Listen.
What's that? Something's trying to reach me. It's saying something.
The pain.
Is it saying something to you, too?
I don't know. The pain.
Try to understand.
I know only one thing. An alien force invading the Earth.
Try to understand.
We must fight it. Your people, my people, we must fight it together.
I feel something else.
We must go back together. Report back together. Tell them. Warn them. The aliens.
Yes. Yes, the aliens. Ivan, something about the aliens.
We must fight them.
Ivan, it is reaching me. An alien force is destroying the Earth.
Is it too late?
It is not too late. An attack.
No.
No, a counterattack is being ready.
Counterattack?
Against the aliens.
Then our superiors do know. I feel the understanding now.
We are preparing an attack against the alien.
Who is preparing the counterattack?
Who? We are.
We? Who are we?
Your government. My government. Evidently, in secret, they've been working together. And they have prepared.
Listen, with all your nerves. That is not what's happening. The message we're getting is not coming from human beings. Try to understand.
Then who is sending the message?
It is saying the aliens must be destroyed if we are to save the world. I think I understand.
What?
I know who the aliens are, Ivan. I know.
Who? Tell me.
Don't you hear?
Yes. But it isn't true.
Yes, it is. It is. We are the aliens. We, the human race, are the aliens.
We are the aliens. We, the human race. That's quite a discovery for an intelligence operative. Although, to tell the truth, such a thing has been suspected by many people for many years. But why has it become so apparent to John Carpenter and Ivan Plotnick? As I told you, the basic clue was handed to you back in the middle of Act One, and it has even been repeated. Well, I suppose many of you will just have to wait for Act Three.
The following is a test. Please answer all questions truthfully.
Question one. Which of these do you like most? Rowboat, dentist, or police Zuzu?
Question two. If you and three friends wanted to take a nice trip, would you take turns carrying each other, take turns throwing each other, or buy an Opel Isuzu?
Question three. Given a choice, would you attend a lecture on good posture, hurt your foot, or buy an Opel Isuzu?
If you answered Opel Isuzu to all three, see your Buick Opel dealer and take a test drive. Otherwise, see someone else.
Nothing human is alien to me, said the Roman poet Terence. However, here we seem to have a situation where everything human seems alien to something else. John Carpenter, Jr., a secret agent, seems to have blundered into the most dangerous secret in the world. And the problem is, what can he do about it?
We are the aliens? We are going to be destroyed.
What?
By whom? Communicate with it, Ivan. Try to understand it.
There is so much pain.
Yes, because it's new for us to think like this. It's not the way human beings think, by making pictures in the brain. This is communicating through changes of the body. You understand pain because you feel pain. Who is talking to us?
Oh, this isn't talking. It's transferring ideas. We are going to be destroyed unless...
Unless what?
Listen, Ivan. Help me try to understand.
Unless we become part of...
The Earth.
Yes. The Earth. But we are part of the Earth.
We are not part of the Earth. We are not part of the chain. We will be destroyed.
That's the message you've been getting. We will be destroyed.
Yes, sir. Now, here's what I suggest. We should meet with the members of their project, compare notes, and try to find a way to save ourselves.
Now, John...
Please try to understand. The whole human race can be wiped out.
John,
I know this is unorthodox, and there might even be hell to pay upstairs, but it's an emergency.
Now, John,
there is no time.
All right. We'll do it this way. Bring in... Ivan Ivanovich Plotnick.
Yes, sir.
Well, go ahead, call him.
I have already notified him.
What?
Oh, yeah. You see, this is all part of it.
Part of what?
Part of our psychic communication. This is what our project was set up to discover. Botnick and I already know how to use it. Now, the trouble is, in using it, we also learn other things. You see, because to use it, you sort of hook into a universal communication system and you hear what other things are thinking.
Things?
Yes. Yes, things. What we call inanimate objects. Stone. Forces.
Forces?
Gravity. Electricity. Winds. Clouds. Everything that's part of the Earth.
I see.
No, you don't. You're treating me like a newcomer. Look, I've been in the service for 15 years. I know that technique. Lead the poor fish on.
Now, John, wait a minute. I want to help you.
What help is there you can give me? The whole human race faces a holocaust.
Why don't you bring Plotnick here and we can discuss it?
No, because I see what's on your mind. Bring Ivan Plotnick here so you can arrest him.
Oh, that's not why I want you to bring him here.
Don't resort to lies, Mr. Brady. I won't do it. Even now, I'm warning him. Stay away, Ivan. Hide. Leave the country.
I give you my word. He won't be harmed in any way.
No. I've been around. I've seen solemn words and promises broken. In the light of...
What's that again?
Oh, yes. A higher necessity.
John, don't you see we're on to it?
On to what?
Whatever your game is. You want something. I don't know what it is. So you invent this science fiction horror story and this cooperative enemy agent. There's no such person.
There is an agent named Ivan Ivanovich.
All right, John. It happens. I've seen it happen. It's almost the way it is in the armed forces. A man gets combat fatigue.
There is nothing wrong with me.
Our life is filled with constant pressure. It's hazardous. When was the last time you had a vacation?
You placed me on this project.
It was a mistake.
And the project is a success. I have learned to communicate psychically with an agent from the other side.
John, you
of
keep...
vital importance. We have discovered that the entire human race is in grave danger of extinction.
How?
I don't know that yet. But it will become clear. It will. Now don't treat me as if I was some kind of a nut.
Now look, John, what happened to you happens to the best of us. A little rest.
Yeah, in other words, you're going to put me away, huh?
You need rest and treat.
What if I refuse to go?
I'm sorry, John. But you simply don't have that option.
Ivan. Are you listening to me? Why don't you respond? Ivan. I don't seem to be able to reach you. No, are you dead? Did they kill you? I need your help. Who's going to go to your people? Ivan! Ivan!
Good morning. Remember me? I'm Dr. Byrne. Mr. Brady asked me to come and talk to you.
Yeah.
I understand now why you didn't feel free to talk about your job.
What do you want, Doctor?
I want to help you.
Nobody's going to listen to me. They may listen to you. We are about to be removed from the Earth.
We
human beings.
By whom?
I'm not sure, but... Let us say by the elementary forces of the Earth itself.
Why?
Because we are alien. We are alien to the rest of all the living creatures in this world.
How?
All right, look. There's a life
cycle, a chain. We were not part of it.
Yes, we are.
No, no, no. You see, we are on Earth. But we are no longer of it. We destroy other living things. They disappear. Whole species disappear. The chain is broken and we destroy other things. We are aliens. And so we are to be destroyed in our turn.
You believe this?
Yes. This happened before. There was the Ice Age, glaciers, great floods, upheaval. Why? The Earth had to rid itself of something foreign, something destructive. And now it's our turn.
And how do you know all this?
The Earth told me.
How?
I'm psychic. And so is Ivan. I could ask him to come here.
Why?
He'll back me up. If he comes, you won't give him away, will you?
No, I promise.
I'll send for him.
How?
I'm sending for him now. Right now, my mind can talk to his. Ivan Ivanovich Plotnik.
Is that his name?
He's answering me. He can come, Dr. Byrne. You promised me I could trust you.
You can.
Ivan, come to us. Come to us immediately.
Well, where is he?
He'll be here. It's a long trip.
From where?
He's been hiding out. Near the docks. Everybody's after him now. Our people want to arrest him. His own people.
Yeah, John, you must face certain facts.
Yeah, I see where this is going to lead.
I spoke with your wife. You have had disappointments in your life. You wanted to be a writer.
That was a long time ago.
You never forgot it. And that's why you're writing quite a story now.
I don't think we have anything more to talk about.
She told me about your little boy.
She had no right to tell you about
that. It wasn't your fault.
I was driving the car.
An accident can happen to anyone.
It happened to me.
All these things build inside, and one day a man explodes.
That has nothing to do with it. Look, our whole human race is in danger of being wiped out. Ivan will tell you the same thing.
Well, where is he?
He's here.
Where?
Don't you hear? Just outside the door. Wait. Ivan.
Hello, John.
Come in, finally. Tell the doctor what we discovered.
Who are you talking to?
What do you mean, who am I talking to? Ivan.
Where is he?
Well, he's here, right in front of you. Tell him. Tell him you're standing right in front of him.
I'm standing in front of
you,
doctor.
Yeah, you see?
There's no one here but you and me.
Ivan, tell him. Tell him about the aliens.
What we found out, John and I, is that we are the aliens. That we are to be expelled from the Earth.
There. What do you think of what he said, huh?
I didn't hear anyone say anything.
Stop that! Don't make me think I'm crazy. Don't try to make me believe Ivan doesn't exist.
No, on the contrary, John. Ivan does exist.
Then why do you pretend you don't see him?
Who do you think Ivan is,
he
John?
Is, I told
he is you. You are John Carpenter, Jr. Ivan is John. Ivan Ivanovich means John, the son of John, which is John Jr. Plotnik is their word for carpenter. John Carpenter Jr. is Ivan Ivanovich Plotnik.
You don't know what you're talking about.
You created him.
No, no. He approached me. He was in trouble.
You would like to think that there's someone like you on the other side who is in trouble, too.
We have to cooperate. Both sides, all sides will be gone. Ivan.
Yes, John.
Help me.
John, there's no one here.
Help me, Ivan. We will make everyone listen to us. Help me get out of here.
Wait, John. You can't leave.
Help me. Ivan.
God. God, hurry.
John,
John, please, darling. Try to cooperate with the doctors. They want to help you.
Yes, Louise.
We can still have a long and a happy life together.
Of course, Louise.
I'll come again tomorrow.
Yes, dear. Goodbye.
Bye.
Maybe I should pretend to whatever it is they want. But I can't forgive them for killing Ivan when he tried to help me escape. They say Ivan isn't dead. But they try to humor people like me. I know he's dead. He doesn't come when I call him. And I no longer can communicate with the forces of the earth either. Doesn't matter. I know what happened. When Ivan died, I lost my psychic ability. But I know. I know that we are the aliens. And I know that sooner or later, each living human being will be removed from this earth.
And he sits there in the sanitarium, and he makes the dire prediction you have just heard. And of course, nobody believes him. But suppose, just suppose it's true. Wilder things, weirder things have happened. In every prophet, isn't there a touch of madness? Therefore, the sanest thing you can do is wait for me to return in just a few moments.
This grand old republic has come a long way the last two centuries, but I tell you, this country's beer got as good as it's ever going to get 100 years ago. Because that's when Budweiser was born. Brewed and beechwood aged to become the largest selling beer in the history of the world. Truly the king of beers. So happy birthday, America, from your favorite beer.
When you say Budweiser, you say it.
Anheuser-Busch, headquarters, St. Louis, Missouri.
When your algae's coming up, hay fever's got to you. What are you gonna do? Suffer on and suffer through. Or give your allergy extra contact. Real medicine, real relief.
Pollen. Every one of the 12,000 quarts of air you breathe today could contain pollen. If you're allergic, that's red-eyed, itchy, sneezy trouble. And that's why there's Contac. Just one capsule's tiny time pills can actually help block pollen's attack for up to 12 hours relief. All day, all night relief. With the antihistamine most prescribed by allergy specialists. Name your pollen. The name of relief is Contac. Allergy is our business, too.
Give your allergy Contac. Real medicine. Really?
Take only when needed, only as directed.
What lives? Only flesh, blood, root, stem, leaf, trunk. We should go further and ask, what is life? Can't we say that one aspect of life is personality? Don't machines have personalities, too? Don't they also at times seem contrary, out of sorts? And at others, don't they purr like satisfied kittens? The earth, the sea, the sky, don't they also seem to have their moods? As the philosopher says, there is only a single life force, and each thing in the world is a way of expressing it. Our cast included Paul Hecht, Mandel Kramer, Robert Dryden, and Marie Cheatham. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure
in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Have a good evening and come back again next week. This has been Bill Holwig from West Texas for Broken Sea Audio Productions. www.brokensea.com. Good evening. Good evening. The music for tonight's episode was composed by Brian of Seraphic Panoply and Stevie Farnaby.